Like Mordecai had suggested, I needed to look at the clues. Those strange entrances dotting the side of the arena were there for a reason. It was so we could catch a glimpse of the monster. All I could see was that it was big, round, fast, and shoved tightly into the tunnel. My first idea was to build a solid wall, but as we observed the ball from one of the many portcullis entrances, the track forced the monster directly into a 90-degree angle. It bounced right off, barely losing speed as it turned away. There will always be clues. It never lost momentum. It just kept going and going. So we needed to stop it somehow, and we needed to be in a position to do something about it once it did. I was hoping it'd hit our structure and get wedged in good. From there, Imani would stab, Donut would shoot missiles, Chris would cast his spells, and the rest of us would jab our makeshift ninja star-tipped spears up into the boss until its health ran out. Most of the goblin tables were made of thick, hefty steel, which was why they were so damn heavy. The wide table we used for the front of the redoubt also had a pitted wooden covering. Brandon, Chris, and I had spent a good 5 minutes throwing 50 of my ninja shuriken deep into the wood, adding black spikes to the ramp. Spikes that would hopefully damage the boss each time they pierced its flesh. Unfortunately, only about 20 of the stars remained unbroken. That part had been Brandon's idea. I had shown him the shuriken and allowed him to read the description.
These things are way more powerful than you realize. Do the math. Compounding damage means if you poke something 200 times, it's like literally millions of points of damage.
I don't do math, but I do know we ain't poking anything 200 times with these things. Look, I pulled a single star out. I tested it earlier to see if I had any sort of ninja skill. It had received a single chip, and the red enchantment had faded away. Mordecai wasn't kidding when he said these things were fragile. They were clearly meant to only be used once, tempering their value. Despite their fragility, we'd used several of the stars to create the spike strips, nothing more than a pair of stars placed between two pieces of bolted together wood. They'd survive one or two stabbings before breaking. The strips wouldn't be stopping the monster by themselves, but each time it rolled over one, the amount of damage inflicted on the boss would increase by 8%. It had taken us almost 5 hours to build the pieces of the redoubt, or as Brandon called it, the speed bump. Brandon and his brother weren't nurses at the facility. They were the maintenance guys, and these dudes knew what they were doing. They didn't normally work after hours, but they'd been there that night, pushing overtime, trying to fix an oven that was on the fritz before the morning staff showed up to make breakfast. I had described my idea. I spread out a bunch of the looted goblin tools for them, explained exactly what I wanted to do, and we went straight to work. We created a portable, modular fortress, consisting of tables, weight equipment, and loads of other odds and ends. The angled, 4-foot-high structure looked like a lopsided tortoise shell when it was completed. We didn't have any sort of welding equipment, but the goblins had hand-cranked drills and large, toothed bolts designed to screw into the holes the drills created. They also had these small half-moon saws that cut through steel with alarming ease. We removed the legs from the workshop tables, then bolted new ones on, utilizing the load-bearing legs from the weight equipment. The tables were designed to sit solidly at a low angle when we put them on their side. After, we bolted weight benches onto the sides of the tables, like attaching shutters to the edges of a doorframe. Both Brandon and Imani had received items that gave them boosts to their strength, and they each had 2 sections of wall to place. The pieces were large and unwieldy, and heavy as shit, but when placed down in the correct order, Imani, then Brandon, then Imani, then me with the largest piece, and then finally Brandon, the multiple pieces slid together, bolts moving into precisely placed holes. Brandon and I moved to the roof, made of the crossbars of weight racks, while Chris and Imani twisted massive, fist-sized butterfly bolts, affixing the pieces together. Yolanda pulled the rest of the angled braces out of her inventory, sliding them into place one after another, moving in a circle around the circumference of the Pentagon-ish defense.
This is just like something they do on that show, The A-Team. Or maybe MacGyver. The real MacGyver with the hair in the Stargate, not that abysmal remake.
I liked that show,
Chris had said as he worked. It was the first and only time I had heard him speak.
Which one? The A-Team or MacGyver? Or do you mean the remake? Please tell me you don't mean the remake.
Chris never answered. Once the top was bolted into place, Brandon, Imani, and I moved to the last crucial part. The braces for the roof. 5 heavy-duty barbell poles designed to hold more than 1,000 pounds of weight each. I discovered if I held my hand in just the correct place and called the heavy pole from inventory, it wedged itself perfectly between the roof and ground, solid as a concrete pillar.